Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that was a hearty morning. Good to see you folks. Our numbers are down today. I hope it wasn't the lack of heat last Sunday that has scared people off, because as you will gather, that's been fixed, folks. It was fixed by last Sunday evening. It was really toasty last Sunday evening. It's toasty again this morning, so we're pleased for that. Or possibly, I mean, I saw a bus sitting out there from Lisburn Castlereagh Council. Maybe there's a busload have gone off to Dundonald to hear Ben and Dan Nelson speak at the Dundonald BB Enrollment today. But whatever the reason, we're glad you're here, and we're glad if maybe for some reason you're not able to be out today, we're glad if you're watching us online. Sharing with us in our worship that way. So we welcome all of you to our worship today. There's a warm welcome in here, a warm welcome again at the end of the service, into the link, folks. Could we just ask you as you go into the link, if you can get your tea and coffee and move away from the coffee bar as soon as possible, just because there's often a queue of folks waiting to get in, and just keep things moving there so everybody can get in and get served as soon as possible. We join together to worship God, and as we come to do that, we remind ourselves of these words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's unite in prayer together. Fathers, we've gathered in your presence today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We want to worship. We want to worship you. We want to come as you have commanded us, to come and rejoice, to rejoice in the Lord. You've given us so many reasons to be a people of gratitude and joy, even in those times of life when brokenness seems more apparent than beauty. We thank you that you've blessed us with so many good gifts from day to day, things we either take for granted or assume we have them because we deserve them or because we've earned them. Things like our jobs and homes, clothing and food, the wonders of creation, the joy of friends and family. Thank you, Father, for your persistent and pervasive generosity. And we rejoice together also in the spiritual blessings you have given us, for the knowledge that you have blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We rejoice in the love and grace that caused you to send your Son into this sinful world in order to seek and to save the lost. We acknowledge that every one of us is among the lost. We acknowledge our lostness and our sin. But we rejoice in the atoning death of Jesus Christ for our sins, for his glorious resurrection, and the promises of forgiveness, adoption into your family, the gift of eternal life, and so many other blessings that are ours through faith in Jesus' saving work. Like your first disciples, Father, you give us the joy of being used in your service. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel, serving in your church, working together in your kingdom. Thank you for the honor of being able to love our neighbors, working for justice, caring for the poor, and bearing witness to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We rejoice that every one of us has been given a place in your story of redemption and restoration. Lord, may the joy for all your gifts and blessings be seen, not just in our praise and our prayers today, but in our lives from day to day, especially as we go into a new week. We pray that others would see the joy of the Lord in us and would ask us where that joy comes from. And when given that opportunity, may we seek and know the help of your Holy Spirit to give that reason for the hope that we have, to take those opportunities and to faithfully share the good news that you've entrusted to us. Receive our thanks. Hear our prayers, which we bring in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I invite boys and girls, kids' church boys and girls, to come up to the front, please? I'm looking around. I'm hoping there's more upstairs. We seem to be missing a few today, but come on down. Come on down to the front.
to see you. Amen. Right, we are going to, listen carefully everybody, because slight change, we are going to invite boys and girls and junior youth to head out, and as they're doing that, if you have your envelopes, folks, pass them to the end of the rows, and while the boys and girls are going out, we'll just take up our offering now. So if you have an offering, pass it to the end of the rows, and we'll invite the young folks to go to their activities.
Since I already have the band behind me, slight change to the order the guys have got down the back. Just follow along. Let's continue to spend some time worshiping God together as we begin with Be Thou My Vision. Thanks to Alan and to Lydia and to Andy and to Rosie, Ben, for leading us in our praise today. Folks, a few announcements to highlight at this point. First of all, there's evening worship here this evening. 6:30 p.m. I'll not be here this evening. I'm in Legacurry taking the GB enrollment service there this evening. But 6:30, hopefully if Stephen Johnson finds his way back from Warren Point and Russ Trevor, where he's preaching this morning, Stephen will be leading our worship here this evening. Speaking from Jude, contending for the faith. Now, we've talked about this Sunday night. There are strong similarities between 2 Peter and Jude. The letter that we've been thinking about another Sunday night. So do join us 6:30 this evening as Stephen leads that. Folks, as I said last week, this time last year, and indeed it is exactly a year ago by the date today that the moderator of the General Assembly officially opened the new link in the refurbished Minor Hall that has become such a hub of activity. Right throughout the week, a place for friendship and fellowship, a place for ministry and mission. But we know that we had to borrow in order to do that work. Your generosity thus far has been extraordinary. It's been great. And that meant we didn't need to borrow as much as we'd maybe feared. But we still need to repay that back. And we're having to make payments each month. And so we're asking you to give what you can today or over the course of the coming days towards the Link Redevelopment Fund. You can put that in a Link Gift Day envelope or in a plain envelope. Just mark on it your FWO number and that it's for the Link, or you can do that by bank transfer. This week, folks, tomorrow evening, we have the opportunity to meet for prayer together in the Link at 8 p.m. Prayer Focus. That's for everybody in the church. You're all invited as we gather together to pray. Could I thank you, folks, for your generosity in terms of Operation Christmas Child? On Wednesday morning, we filled up a car with 65 shoeboxes. That was well up on last year. And those shoeboxes were then taken to the local distribution point at Newton Breda Baptist. So thank you for your generosity, and you can see that thank you there from Samaritan's Purse. Thank you for your giving for the food bank, the Lisburn Food Bank Christmas hampers. There's been a lot of tins of sweets, tins of fruit, tins of ham coming in. We've been lifting those each Sunday, storing those away. We're going to get what has come in so far, we're going to get that away this week to the food bank. They're asking, the deadline is next weekend, but they want to get work on that as soon as possible. So we will send what we already have. But we ask you if you could continue to give to that, to bring those items in right up until next Sunday evening. In terms of the next bulletin, that bulletin will cover December and January. November is fast passing us by. So folks, we need to start working that bulletin for December and January. And could I ask you to have items to me in the manse by what does it say there? It says 9 p.m. on Thursday evening. We're gracious, folks. As long as I have it on Friday morning, that's fine. But if you can get it by Thursday evening, and please send the items to me. It will be. It's Ruth's turn, I think. But I want the items first of all, and then I'll send those on to Ruth. So please, a couple of things were miscommunication there. But please send all those items to me, and then I'll get those to Ruth next Friday. Sometimes the only impression we get, particularly if we listen to the media, is that the church is in decline in Ireland, that everywhere churches are closing, numbers are dropping. That's not the full story, not by a long way. There's a story of a new church established in Balbriggan, and church planting is right front and centre of the agenda now, and in the coming years, I believe we're going to see many more churches being planted in different parts of Ireland, not just in the south. Remember that I showed you that map a few weeks ago, showed that concentration of churches in Northern Ireland and the scattered churches in the south, but there are many opportunities for church planting in all parts. And in the Presbytery of Dromore, we are looking at opportunities for church planting. We haven't established a new church in the greater Lisburn area since Elmwood in the 1970s, and yet Lisburn has expanded so much. We're looking at opportunities for church plants in the greater Lisburn area in the coming years as well. And that is supported and that's funded through the United Appeal, folks. That is an appeal. It's a church-wide appeal. Every congregation has a target of honour that they're asked to meet, to play their part in the wider mission of the church. And we have monthly United Appeal envelopes. It's part of our monthly giving, where we ask you to give towards that work. And looking outside of Railway Street, that wider work of mission right across Ireland and beyond, because it supports our global mission workers and our training of ministers as well. So thank you for that ongoing monthly giving to our United Appeal. I know that we're on course to meet that target once again this year. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, folks, and let's read a few verses, a few familiar verses that we find there in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Amen. We thank God for this reading from his word. As we've been seeing in this series, folks, the gospel is all about the life, the death, the resurrection, and the rule of Jesus, God's Son. This gospel is the Father's initiative. He sent his Son to be his people's Lord and Savior. And we've seen how Jesus looked at people as he engaged in his mission here on earth. We've seen his love and his compassion for those who were lost, those who were harassed and helpless. We've seen how that should shape our attitudes and actions as his people. Last week we were thinking about the gospel plan. In the beginning, in Genesis, God announces in the aftermath of the fall and of sin coming into the world, there's that word of a Savior, descendant of Eve. And then in Revelation, we see that Savior Jesus enveloped in songs of praise from people he has saved from all nations. And we've seen how Jesus calls his disciples to go and to reach all nations with the gospel. Folks, could I encourage you, if you've missed, and often things come up and we're not here Sunday by Sunday, if you've missed any in this series, they're all there, folks. You can go to our website, you can find recent services, and you can find all our services archived, and you can watch and catch up, and would encourage you to do that if you've missed any in this series on gospel-shaped outreach. We've seen that call at command as a disciple of Jesus Christ. The command of Jesus is to share this good news of Jesus with everyone. And that throws us into a spiritual battle. And that's what Paul is making clear there in Ephesians 6, that in living for Christ, this is war. This is conflict. There is a struggle going on in this world between the forces of light, those who march under the banner of Jesus Christ, against the forces of darkness, those spiritual forces of evil, the heavenly realms led by that ancient enemy of God, the devil or Satan. So we're thrown into a battle. It's an ongoing conflict as we seek to advance the cause of Christ in our lives. We feel that struggle in our own lives daily. And there is that struggle in the world which we find ourselves locked against those forces that are opposed to the gospel. And we remember we don't fight this war, this spiritual battle, on our own. We fight it together with other Christians in the church under the leadership and the command of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fight it with the weapons that God has provided us with. In particular, we're thinking this morning about prayer. We're thinking about how prayer connects us with the unlimited resources of our Father in heaven. Because when it comes to the task of evangelism, when it comes to the task of sharing the gospel message, we cannot separate that task from the work of prayer. We can't separate it. When we read the Bible, we see that prayer and evangelism are inextricably linked. It is prayer that fuels our mission. Evangelism is a spiritual work, and so we must pray for the Holy Spirit to open doors and to open hearts. Bible teacher Dick Lucas says, effective evangelism begins with persevering prayer. Effective evangelism begins with persevering prayer. We must reach up to God if we're going to successfully reach out to people. How do we pray for evangelism? What do we pray for? Three things. Let's go on to that next slide again. That first point. First of all, we need to pray for gospel workers. We need to pray for gospel workers. Let me remind you of those verses from Matthew 9, those well-known verses. We looked at them before, but we return to them for a few moments together now. Matthew chapter 9, if we go on to the next slide. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, we looked at that passage a few weeks ago. At that time, we were focusing on that compassion of Jesus for those who were spiritually lost.
But we also see how moved by compassion, Jesus tells his disciples one of the main things they need to pray for when it comes to evangelism. He tells them the need is great, but there aren't enough workers. Therefore, he calls his disciples to pray to God for God to send workers into that harvest field. Folks, I wonder, do we understand just how great the need is for those gospel workers? You know, for some of us, if we've maybe been Christians the longest, it's not something that deliberately happens, but often when we've been Christians the longest and we're so much part of the church, we maybe don't have as many friendships or contacts with non-Christians anymore. And then we maybe don't see the true size of the harvest that is out there. Or maybe because we're in somewhere like Lisburn where there are lots of churches and where there are still new churches being set up, we maybe assume there are plenty of workers. There are plenty of churches. There are plenty of workers. I was checking this week, folks, the population of those living within the Lisburn city area is now 76,000 people. 76,000 people. Every seat, every church in Lisburn and Castlereagh was filled on a Sunday morning, you would still find tens of thousands of people within the limits of Lisburn and Castlereagh Council who need to be reached. There is a need for more workers. There is a need for more churches. The truth is, though we might often struggle to believe it, is that people are actually much more eager to hear the gospel than we are to share it. Think about the world we're in at the present time. Think about that succession of crises that we move one to the other. Think about the fear and the despair and the despondency and the bad news. Think about that and then realize that we have good news to share. And when we do share that good news, we will find so often people are more eager to hear it than we maybe imagine. And certainly more eager to hear it than we are willing to share it. So many in our society, every bit as harassed and helpless as the people of Jesus' day. And we need to pray for more workers. And we need to pray that those workers will be properly focused on reaching those who do not yet know Christ. We need to pray for more workers. Now, the interesting thing is this. Jesus calls his disciples to pray for more workers in the harvest field. How does Jesus answer that prayer? Or how does God answer that prayer of the disciples? Well, then Jesus sends the 12 out into that harvest. He sends the 12 out on their first solo mission trip without him. Because often when we pray for God to send workers, God says, okay, I'm choosing you. You go. You go. We need to be prepared for that. There's a need for gospel workers. What would change if we really believed that the harvest is as plentiful and the workers are as few as Jesus said? Surely we would pray earnestly for more workers, that we would do that regularly. We would pray for workers who would work in taking the opportunities that would arise and actively seeking to make opportunities to share the gospel. We have needs in our denomination at this time in terms of good workers. We're looking to recruit at the minute. One of the things we're asking for in the church is this. We're asking people who maybe feel they have a call to serve as a deaconess. We're looking to begin training a new cohort of deaconesses. That application is open at the minute. It will be closing in the coming weeks. Now, we know and we have the joy of having a deaconess serving here in Railway Street with Heidi. We've come very quickly to appreciate and to value that. The number of our deaconesses has decreased quite substantially recent years. So there are opportunities there for people who feel that call. We're looking to recruit deaconesses. And secondly, something new at the minute. We are looking for what we're calling mission pioneers. Mission pioneers. This is very much linked in with those church planting plans. Mission pioneers are envisaged as those who will go first, those who will pave the way and initiate connections between those outside the church to engage them with both the gospel and Christian communities. And so in an area where we're maybe looking to church plant, what we want is mission pioneers who will go into that area, who will live and work in that area, and who will become a nucleus of a church plant reaching out to those communities. We're seeking to identify and recruit mission pioneers to engage in work across Ireland. And it could be in the coming days that there are going to be folks here in this church, and God is going to call, maybe even at the minute, God is going to call workers from Railway Street to leave us, and we'll have that pain of having to part with folks, as we've done with Robin, as we've done with Stephen, because they've received that call to go out and to serve the Lord in other places and other ways. I've no doubt in the coming days, God's going to call people from this congregation to go and to serve. As we pray for more workers, we shouldn't be surprised if God says to us, I'm calling you. Will you go? Will you serve? We need to pray for gospel workers. And as we meet tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. in the Link, we're going to spend time doing that. We're going to pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Come and join us as we pray for that. We need to pray for gospel workers. Secondly, we need to pray for gospel opportunities. We need to pray for gospel opportunities. Folks, the truth is, when we do pray for opportunities to talk about God, he gives us those opportunities. And maybe that's what stops some of us praying for opportunities, because we believe that. And we're actually terrified that if God gives us those opportunities, then we're going to have to take them and to do something with it. So maybe we don't pray for gospel opportunities sometimes for that reason. But when we pray for them, God gives them. Now, he doesn't necessarily do it in the way we might have expected or hoped. But he does give us opportunities. I've seen that in this job time and time again. There are times where gone to make a call, and before I've gone, I've prayed because I know the person doesn't know the Lord, and maybe their time on this earth is short, and you pray for God to give you the opportunities to get past the superficial and to get serious about talking about eternal things. And I've seen time and time again where God has provided those opportunities, but it's to my shame that I haven't always taken those opportunities when they're there. We pray for opportunities. God does that. The Apostle Paul was someone who took the initiative. He seems that way. We could imagine Paul, we think of a man who parachuted into a town, talked to everybody about Jesus before lunchtime, a guy who fearlessly and faithfully got it done. And yet we see here in Paul's letters how he constantly asks those believers he's writing to pray for him, to pray that he will have the boldness to take those opportunities that are presented to him. I think in some ways Paul was very like us. Paul knew what it was to feel weak and inadequate. We see that clearly in his letters, and that's why he constantly prayed to God and he asked the churches to pray for him. Listen to what he said to his friends in Colossians. He said this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." What's Paul asking him to pray for? To pray that God will open a door for the message of the gospel. It's like he's standing outside a fortress without a way to enter, and he's saying, pray for God to open a door, to give me gospel opportunities. In J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Hobbit, Bilbo and the dwarves are on a quest. The dwarves are returning to claim their homeland from the dragon Smaug. They're traveling to the lonely mountain, and they know there's a secret door into that mountain, and they have the key, but they cannot find the keyhole, and without the keyhole, they cannot open the door. And they push at this door, and they try to break it and force it open, and finally they're ready to give up. But with the last light of the sun, it shines upon that door, and it reveals the keyhole. They take the key and they open that door and they enter the mountain. What had seemed an impossibility a moment before suddenly became much more straightforward. Friends, in a similar way, when it comes to evangelism, we find ourselves in many ways standing locked outside of the human heart. It's like a formidable mountain, unable to be opened by any amount of human effort. And this challenges us because it reminds us, no matter how carefully we prepare, no matter how persuasive our words, we cannot open someone's heart to hear the truth of the gospel message. It's only the Holy Spirit that can open an unbeliever's heart. When I was younger, sometimes used to hear people talk in church, and they would talk about how they converted somebody. And I realized later just how blasphemous that is. We cannot convert anybody. We cannot open somebody's heart to the gospel. That's way above our power, our pay grade. It's the Holy Spirit who opens people's hearts. We pray for those opportunities. We pray that God will give them to us. And then we pray that the Holy Spirit will open somebody's heart to receive that message. That's what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to pray that God would open doors for the gospel, open hearts for the gospel, that God would give us opportunities. And there, that in those opportunities, he would open hearts to hear the word of God. And he does that. I've seen that time and time again. I remember a few years ago, the car that I had struggling up the hill into Riff Island one evening. It managed to struggle back down the hill and home again. It never went anywhere after that. The car had lived out its usefulness. I needed a new car, the mechanic told me. And in this job, living in the countryside, I needed a new car fast. And then his brother-in-law worked in a Ford dealership. He told me he had a blue Ford Focus with low mileage, and he thought it would suit me well. And I took it out for a drive. I bought it. It was the blue Focus I still had when I came here. It was a great, dependable car. But before I bought that car, folks, here's the thing. I had never noticed any blue Ford Focuses on the road. Never noticed any blue Ford Focuses. But you see, after I bought that blue Ford Focus and started driving it, you know what the amazing thing was? Everywhere I went, I saw blue Ford Focuses. Couldn't believe how many blue Ford Focuses were on the road. Because it was in my mind, because I was now driving one, because I was thinking about it, I started to notice them everywhere. Folks, if we get our minds wired so that we are constantly thinking about and praying for and looking for evangelistic opportunities, you will start to see them crop up all over the place. The challenge is then to take them when we see them. Eric Raymond, who wrote this course, this gospel-centered outreach course, says this: I know one man who prays, Lord, give me an opportunity to tell someone else about the gospel today, and please don't be subtle. God often gives us subtle opportunities to share the gospel, but often he gives us wide open doors. We need to pray for gospel opportunities. Thirdly, finally, we need to pray for gospel faithfulness. Paul doesn't just ask them to pray for opportunities. He also asks them to pray that he would take the opportunities. Paul wants an open door so that he can declare the glories of the gospel. Purpose of an open door is so that we will walk through it. And effective evangelism is faithful evangelism. And Paul is praying, asking the people in Colossians and here in Ephesians 6, he is asking them to pray for faithfulness for him in speaking the gospel. That he will respond to those opportunities with boldness. That's what he says in Ephesians 6. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. As I should. That I may declare it fearlessly. And that's what often stops us, isn't it? It's the fear. It's the fear. What will I say? How will I answer? How will I know the words? Folks, whenever we fear people, we're not bold. But where we have a healthy fear of God, then we will be bold. Think back to that story from Acts we were sharing with the children. There was no doubt fear for Peter and John as they're arrested, as they spend the night in prison, and then they're before their leaders, and they're told in no uncertain terms to stop preaching about Jesus. Now, Peter and John had seen what those leaders had done to Jesus, but their healthy fear of the Lord and their understanding that they must obey God rather than man was paramount in their minds. And look again at that prayer they prayed after they were released, and look at the faith here. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And look at that answer. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Folks, if you are someone who, like me, even after all this time, still gets butterflies in the pit of your stomach at the very thought of speaking to someone about Jesus, it's as simple as this. You need to pray for boldness. And we need to pray for boldness for one another. And we want to do that tomorrow night as we gather for prayer as well. You need to pray for boldness. Boldness corresponds with faithfulness, particularly concerning evangelism. When we think about evangelistic faithfulness in our lives and in our church, one of the questions we need to ask is, are we praying for boldness with the gospel? And if the answer is no, then it needs to become one of our prayer points. When we pray for faithfulness, we're praying for boldness. We're praying that we may share that message with clarity. Time and time again in his letters, Paul asked for prayer for the gospel to advance, that he would be given the words, that he would be given boldness, that he would share it fearlessly. We often remark about the awful state of our society, the condition of our society. We sometimes talk in the church about the need for revival, while at the same time we neglect the essential ingredient in that recipe for gospel advancement. There's no getting around it. It's prayer. And when we look at the gospel accounts, when we look at church history, we look at the revivals that have happened down through history in biblical times and through the history of the church, what we find is this: there were always people praying. There were always people praying. Because gospel advance is inextricably linked to Christians praying. The 1859 revival that swept this land, and out of which this church was established, began with a small group of ordinary believers meeting together in a house outside the village of Kells, praying for gospel boldness, praying for God to move in the lives of their family and neighbors. And from that praying came a move of the Spirit that swept across our land. Prayer fuels mission, because the mission is God's mission. We are simply asking God to do what we know he wants to do, but he wants to do it through us. Prayer fuels mission. Imagine what would happen if here in Railway Street, if we really began to reflect that biblical priority of evangelistic prayer. Maybe we'd spend more time talking and messaging each other with requests to pray for opportunities with neighbors at work or with family and friends. We would find God opening people's hearts to receive the message, and the church would be growing and our community would be changing for the better. We need to pray for gospel workers. We need to pray for gospel opportunities. We need to pray for gospel faithfulness. And when we do that, just watch what God then does. Let's pray. Folks, as we take just a few moments, let's engage in silent prayer and let's do what Jesus asked. Let's pray to the Lord of the harvest now to send out workers into his harvest field. Pray for God to call those to train as ministers. Pray for God to call those to serve as deaconesses. Pray for God to call people to serve as missionary pioneers. And let's pray for ourselves that we would be willing to be those workers, whatever context God calls us to. And let's pray for gospel opportunities. Pray that for myself. Pray that for Heidi. Pray that for Hannah. Pray that for our elders. Pray for those opportunities for ourselves and our own lives as we go into a new week, wherever God has called us to serve. Let's pray for opportunities. That God would show us those opportunities where people are open to hear. Let's pray for opportunities. And as those opportunities present themselves, let's pray for gospel faithfulness. Let's pray that we would ask for the strength and the courage from the Holy Spirit to take those opportunities, trusting that he will give us the words to say, that we may share the message with boldness, not with arrogance, but to share that message just with conviction and honesty and humility. Let's pray that we would be those who take those opportunities. And Father, Lord, create a culture in this church family where we put evangelism front and center. And where we understand, Lord, that evangelism cannot succeed unless it's bathed in prayer. So burden us to pray for gospel workers, to pray for gospel opportunities, to pray for gospel faithfulness, not just to pray that as individuals, but to gather together and to take those opportunities to pray, whether here tomorrow night, whether in our discipleship groups during the week or in whatever other context. Develop that culture, Lord, where we pray together. And then as we seek to reach out and to take those opportunities that you give us, Lord, to speak through that, to open people's hearts to the reality of the gospel, that they may come to know Jesus for themselves and become part of our community here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Final hymn picks up on those words from Ephesians. It reminds us that this is a struggle that we're engaged in. It's a battle, and we need to use the weapons and the armor that God has provided. O church, arise and put your armor on.